Would you turn with me to 1 Thessalonians chapter 2, verses 8 through 12? We're going to take a look at what the Word of God says about dads. And as you're getting there to 1 Thessalonians chapter 2, I was thinking of, there's a lot of dads in the Bible that I could use as an example, but I felt the Lord led me to this particular scripture verse, that this is written by Paul, that is not a dad himself, but he does a good job of describing dads, laying out some characteristics of dads. So 1 Thessalonians chapter 2, verses 8, here we go. Because we loved you so much, we were delighted to share with you not only the gospel of God, but our lives as well. Surely you remember, brothers and sisters, our toil and our hardship. We work night and day in order not to be a burden to anyone while we preach the gospel of God to you. You are witnesses, and so is God, of how holy, righteous, and blameless we were among you who believed. For you know that we dealt with each of you as a father deals with his own children, encouraging, comforting, and urging you to live lives worthy of God, who calls you into his kingdom and glory. Will you pray with me? Heavenly Father, we thank you for this, Lord, your word this morning. Father, we thank you that you are more than we need. I loved how Jesse said that. You are more than we could ever need or want. Father, as we dive into your word, Father, would you speak through it? I pray over our dads this morning that they would be challenged and they would take something away, Lord, straight from your heart to theirs. Would you speak to all of us this morning in only the way that you can? We love you, Lord. In Jesus' name, amen. You see, this particular passage in 1 Thessalonians, it's interesting. Paul is writing to this church in Thessalonica where he started this church on his second missionary journey. We find that in Acts chapter 17. But what's interesting is he was only able to stay there for like 3 weeks. So he got the church started, but because there was a lot of, just hostility towards the gospel, he had to get out of town. So he's actually writing to this church group, or his spiritual children, in a sense, his baby that he just started from Corinth. And he's writing back to them and saying, hey guys, first of all, he's saying, I was like a father to you as an act of love. And he says that because we loved you so much in verse 8, because we loved you. And isn't that what fathers do? We do what we do for our kids because we love them. How many times have you found yourself in a very interesting position and you thought to yourself, I'm only doing this because I love you? There have been many tea parties, many times playing dolls, and the worst was trying to learn how to do ponytails. And you think to yourself, only because I love you, right? That's what Paul's saying here. He's also saying, fatherhood is hard work. He says here, we worked night and day. We worked night and day. That's what fatherhood is. Fatherhood is a full-time job, isn't it? I was reminded yesterday as we had a diaper that, you know, we were trying to unpack coming back from Florida, and as you can hear, I brought a souvenir from Florida. I thought Houston was the worst for like allergies and all that, but I don't know. There's a I was suffering for Jesus at the beach. So if you hear me cough, but we're trying to pack. We had a long road trip, and we get back, and David had a diaper, and I told B about it, and she's like, okay, good. Well, nobody changed his diaper, and he's out riding his bike. And he has one of those curved seats. So it just kind of curved right on around. You know? And man, did it not smell like heaven, I'll tell you that. But it did remind me that no matter what, you don't get a pass just because you want to unpack a car or whatever. When you're called to be dad, you're dad full time, aren't you? And it's funny, I was looking at different things that come up with funny anecdotes and stories, and it said that often dads aren't in pictures because dads are the ones taking the pictures. Dads are the one that seems to always be there to bail you out when you have a flat tire at 2 a.m. Dad's that guy that always seems to know how to fix everything. My dad certainly is that way. My dad came to visit just about 2 weeks ago, and I had a whole list of things that I had for him to get going. My sprinkler system busted. You know, it froze this past winter in Houston. Apparently, you got to wrap that thing up. So my dad and I, we fixed the sprinkler. I mean, he fixed it. I watched. But dads are just that way, aren't they? Dads kind of, they're like the ones that just take care of everything. They're the ones you go to for advice. And that's what Paul's saying here is it's a lot of hard work. It's night and day. It's a full-time job. The third thing he's saying here is fatherhood is taking action. He says right there in, let's see what verse it was, in verse 12, encouraging, comforting, and urging you to live the lives worthy of God. Paul is saying a lot. He himself is not a father, but he compares all of this that he's talking to these spiritual children of, just like fathers, we looked out for you. And he, maybe mistakenly, but for us very purposefully, sets a framework for what a dad is all about. Dads. You know, Lucille Ball, shortly before her death, anybody remember that? I Love Lucy? I loved that show. Watched it on TBS on Saturday mornings. She did a remarkable TV interview with Merv Griffin. He asked her a very serious and pointed question with a lot of aspects. He said, Lucille, you've lived a long time on this earth and you're a wise person. What's happened to our country? What's wrong with our children? Why are our families falling apart? What's missing? Lucille Ball answered without hesitation, Dad's missing. Things are falling apart because Dad is gone. If Dad were here, he would fix it. And I thought, what an awesome quote that is, because she's so right. There are many things we can look to, challenges, problems, things wrong inside of our country and in our school systems. More than ever, Dad, we need you. Dad, you have an area of influence like no other. And she said it right. If Dad were here, he would fix it. So, Dad, I'm going to be speaking to you this morning on how you can be that dad that God has called you to be, the one that can fix everything, the one that we're all looking to, the one that God's called you to be. On days like this, whether it's Mother's Day or whether it's Father's Day, Grandparents' Day, Friends' Day, they have a two-year-old like I have a two-year-old. It's always sensitive because I know that not everybody has the same kind of dad experience that I have. Not everybody's the kind of dad that I am. Some of us celebrated heavenly Father's Days today. And so I want to be sensitive to that, is that these days can be amazing for some and it can be challenging for others. But I also know that there are some dads in here that probably don't think that they're the best dad. You're probably thinking of mistakes that you've made. But everything that we're going to talk about today, you can do today to be the best dad today. And maybe we'll talk about some things if your dad's no longer with us and you can't go give him a big hug today, that you might, it might bring a smile to your face as you remember the funny things that they did or the way that they did certain things. I asked Mackenzie. She came walking in or to my office, and she said, Dad, what are you doing? I said, well, I'm getting ready for the sermon for tomorrow. And she said, oh, that's good. And she just sat there, and I said, well, okay. I said, what's something I could do? What would you say about Father's Day? She goes, Dad, I can't take my memory and just remember Father's Day. I said, no. I said, what about me as a father? It doesn't have to be specifically. She said, oh, okay, good, because I don't remember all your Father's Days, Dad. And she said she remembered that on our Wii, when she was little, I made a character, El Bib. It was Bible spelled backwards, and I didn't tell them. And she's like, Dad, for the longest time, I couldn't think of who El Bib was. And she's like, when I think of you, I think of El Bib. Just funny, goofy. And we sat for a long time. Our conversation ended up like, what's your favorite smell? We were talking about tennis balls, tire shops. You know, we were going on and on. She's like, I like the smell of mold. I'm like, you're weird. But it's funny, right? When you get into conversations with your dad, things can go in any direction. But I've loved that you know, this week I've got to spend time with my kiddos. I asked my son Jonah this morning, I said, "Hey son, how did you get so handsome?" He said, "You and Jesus." I said, "Amen." I said, "Amen." I want to share with you the top 10 things that you'll never hear a dad say. You ready for this? Well, how about that? I'm lost. Looks like we'll have to stop and ask for directions. Number 9, you know, pumpkin, now that you're 13, you'll be ready for unchaperoned car dates. Won't that be fun? You know, it's interesting. I remember when my sister turned 16, my dad required that all of her dates came to the house. And he got to meet them. And, you know, guys were always scared of my dad. At that time, he's like a lieutenant colonel and, you know, scary and blah, blah, blah. For me, I turned 16. He's like, "Go get him, Tiger. See you later." Isn't that weird? That's strange. Number 8, I noticed that all of your friends have a hostile attitude. I like that in them. Number 7, here's a credit card and the keys to my new car. Go crazy. Number 6, what do you mean you don't want to play football? Okay, figure skating is perfect for you, son. I remember I had a brother-in-law that his son got a girl toy at McDonald's, and we turned the car around so he could go get a boy toy. I'm like, "Relax, he's gonna be fine." Dads, we're funny like that, aren't we? Better strap up your cleats, son. You're gonna play football. Number 5, your mother and I are going away for the weekend. You might want to throw a party or something. Number 4, well, I don't know what's wrong with your car. Probably one of those doohickey thingies, you know, that makes it run or something. Just have it towed to the mechanic and pay whatever he says. You know, B's dad and my dad, they just have a weird knack for knowing everything that's wrong with a car. You know, it's funny. This morning, we were driving to church this morning and had car issues. Like, it was a weird knock. Like, we're driving. So I get out and I search the car. Nothing seems to be hanging. No flat tire. No dead body. I mean, it seemed pretty good. And so we drive a little further. No noise. And then just erratic knocking. And I'm like, it sounds like a transmission. I think he's going to drop it right here. I don't know. So B calls her dad. She's like, "Hey, Dad, we've got a problem with the car." We had borrowed his car to go to Florida. And he goes, "Did you take the brake off?" See, I should know those kind of things, but dads do know those kind of things. Thank you, Nicho. I appreciate the car and the water, sir. Number 3, no son of mine is going to live under this roof without an earring. Now quit your belly aching and let's go to the mall and get you a pair. You know, I showed up at 18 years old to my house with 2 earrings. The colonel wasn't happy, let me tell you that. He said, "Hello, darling." And he didn't talk to me for a little while after that. Number 2, what do you want to go and get a job for? I make plenty of money for you to spend. And number 1, what do I want for Father's Day? Don't worry about it. It's no big deal. It's always a big deal for Father's Day, isn't it? You probably already had your list prepared. Something grilling, camping, car related. Dad, you are an amazing creature. And we are certainly going to celebrate you today. And so when we think of dads, it's kind of funny, all these stories and different things. But when it gets down to the heart of it, how can you be the dad that God's called you to be? And I have a couple of thoughts. What I saw in Paul's writing in 1 Thessalonians is, first is, he was passionate. If you want to be the dad that God has called you to be, you have to be a passionate dad. 1 Corinthians 10:31 says this, "So whether you eat or drink or whatever you do, do all to the glory of God." You see, we understand this concept when it has to do with our job. See, men, I feel like we, at the very beginning, when God created work for us to do, right? He gave Adam a job right in the very beginning. You don't have to go far before man was given work. And even when sin entered in, they still had work to do. Work didn't come after the fall. Work was there before the fall. Like, men, we have something, some connection to our job, right? We understand passion for our job. Dr. Dobson said this: many men only want to succeed at work. Our natural tendency is to pour ourselves totally into this work assignment, and then we leave the leftovers for our family. What if today we decided to be passionate dads, and the same tenacity and unction and go get them, tiger, that we do in our jobs, we did that with our kids and in our families, and we became that passionate dad? I remember getting laid off from a company once, and I thought, sweet, they told me I couldn't work for 3 months. That was a part of my severance package. And I thought, man, you just gave me a free vacation. It was horrible. See, men, we're like connected to our jobs. I went to Gold's Gym 3 hours a day. I was bored out of my mind. What can you do at a gym for 3 hours? But you know what was weird is I found that a job gave me a sense and a purpose, right? And so when I didn't have that, all of a sudden I felt, but what if that same strong desire of being good at our jobs, of pouring ourselves into work, if we did that same thing with our families, and like Paul is writing here, we became passionate dads? What if when the kids said, hey, dad, would you want to do this? No, I don't, but I will because you do. Or, hey, dad, what do you want to do today? I don't know. Let's do something you want to do, or let's do something as a family. What if you, when you came home, it was all about your kids? What if it was all about raising them up? What if it was all about just making sure that you were the absolute best dad you could be? The first thing, if we're going to be the dads that God's called us to be, we have to be passionate dads. And maybe you don't have the best track record up till now, but you know what? Today has an afternoon attached to it, and you can be the best dad this afternoon. Number two is be intentional. So be passionate and be intentional. Ephesians 5, 15 through 17 says this: look carefully then how you walk, not as unwise, but as wise, making the best use of time because the days are evil. Therefore, do not be foolish, but understand what the will of the Lord is. The will of the Lord is that you raise your children up in a manner that they know who the Lord is. In verse 9, Paul in 1 Thessalonians, he says, our toil and our hardship, it's going to be difficult. I don't know if you're anything like me, but I didn't like grow up and in my mind, I mean, NFL player, astronaut, like I didn't think to myself, I'll be a dad, right? Like that wasn't something that I just thought about. And so maybe you've had kids and you've just been kind of hanging on. But what I really feel the challenge is what if you are an intentional dad? Somebody that says, you know what, I'm going to take my job as serious as I can, and I'm going to own the fact that my job is to get them from here to here, meaning here's where they are, and here's this absolute on-fire relationship of knowing the Lord, the responsibility of taking them to that point. What if we started being intentional dads? You have to be intentional to lose weight. You have to be intentional to get in shape. You have to be intentional to learn something, like a language or to start a new hobby. It's interesting. I understand concepts as a man, right? B loves it when I start a new hobby. I intentionally go out and buy everything that I need. I'm that guy that when he decides to go fishing, he walks in with like the Columbia t-shirts and the hats and everything. And it's like, wow, you love to fish? No, I haven't started yet, but I'm ready. Like, we get that, right? And you might know somebody that's like that, but we've got to do that same thing with our kids. Be intentional. Andy Stanley wrote an article that says, when work and home collide. And what he was talking about is you have to cheat sometimes. Most of the time, what he means is you choose to cheat your kids because you pour in more to your job. What if you start cheating your job and you start giving more to your kids? And I thought that was an interesting concept because we shouldn't cheat, right? Well, I look back on my time in corporate America, and corporate America had no problem cheating me all the time. They, you know, you got your regular 9-to-5 schedule. Next thing you know, they're like, hey, we got a 7:30 conference call. Okay, no problem. And then before you know it, it's like, hey, we're going to stay after we got a meeting afterwards. Okay, no problem. And then the next day, hey, we're going to have to take shortened lunches because we got something special to do. Okay, yeah, no problem. And before long, it's like, man, they're cheating me. But at what point do we stand up and say, you're starting to invade on my family time. My kids are more important and I've got to take care of them. I'm an intentional dad. We need to do that. The third thing, be passionate, be intentional, is be influential. Be influential. 1 Thessalonians 2, which we've been reading, verse 11, 12, Paul said this, "For you know that we dealt with each of you as a father deals with his own children, encouraging, comforting, and urging." I want to sit on that for just a second. He said encouraging, comforting, and urging. What I see there is three words. The first two are similar. The third one's a little different. The first two, encouraging and comforting, those are like investing. Right, that's encouraging and comforting is kind of the nice things, the dessert aspect, it's what you're investing into your kids. And then the third word, urging, is different. That's now, hey, I'm gonna teach you something. I'm gonna challenge you. What I see is he used two investment words, encouraging and comforting, to then use a third one. Hey, now I'm going to urge you to be the person. What I see Paul doing is I had to spend time encouraging and comforting you before I could ever urge you to live the life that God's called you to. Do you see that? Too many dads want to challenge their kids to be this or to be that when they haven't spent the time investing, encouraging and comforting them. Do you see what I see here? I see that Paul has spent time investing in them. He's used his influence to encourage them and comfort them, and then it allowed him, that investment gave him the ability to then urge them to live the life that God's called them to. Dads, we've got to spend time encouraging and comforting our kids. We need to go throw the baseball with them. We need to play dolls with them. And we need to encourage them and comfort them. I remember Pastor Stephen Trammell, he's spoken here before. He shared a story about his daughter. He was trying to prepare for seminary, and his daughter was really tiny, and he had an assignment that was due. And she said, "Dad, would you come and play house with me?" And he said, "Well, I can't right now. I've got to get this paper ready," or whatever he was working on. And so she went on about her way, and he said, "You know, that's not right. I shouldn't put this work over her." So then he said, he took his paper into the little dollhouse and he started working on his paper with her. And she still looked at him kind of sad. And she's like, "Daddy, no, I wanted you to play with me." And he said, "You know what I had to do is I had to put that paper away. And she invited me into her world. And I needed to fully be there." And I thought, I love that story, because that's the transition that has to happen for dads is, we have to be able to invest in them in a way that they're not competing with our jobs, they're not competing with other things. And what he did is he put everything aside and he fully got to spend time with his daughter. She invited him into her world. You know, today you can go get involved in your kids' worlds, dads. What are they passionate about? What are they excited about? What do they love to do? Show an interest. Be a part of that encouraging and comforting aspect. And then when you need to urge them to live the life, you'll have made that investment. As dads, to be the kind of dad God has called us to be, we have to be influential. And Paul gives us a script there. This week I was talking with a dad in Florida, and he was asking about the church and everything here, and I said, "These people are awesome." And he looked at me and my heart broke. He said, "You know, Chris, I wish my son would work in ministry. I wish my son was just involved in church." And I could see the broken heart of a dad. And we continued our conversation. You know what was really evident is he's wishing that now, but when he had the opportunity to sow into his life, he just wasn't there for him. And so now all he can do is wish that his son was living a life pursuing God. But the problem was, he's now urging him, but he never spent the time to encourage and comfort him. So his tank is empty when he's trying to urge him. There's a story from Spain of a father and a son who'd become estranged. The son ran away and the father set off to find him. He searched for months to no avail. Finally, in a last desperate effort to find him, the father put an ad in a Madrid newspaper. Y'all have probably heard this. The ad read, "Dear Paco, meet me in front of the newspaper office at noon on Saturday. All is forgiven. I love you, your father." On Saturday, 800 Pacos showed up looking for forgiveness and love from their fathers. You know, I don't know if that's a true story or not, but I'm telling you, our kids are looking for that encouragement and comfort from dads. Moms, you have a unique way to give it, but Dad, God gave you the other half that the kids need too. Dad's calling, our father's calling us dads to be influential. The next thing is dads, we have to understand our responsibility. We have a responsibility. Ephesians 6:4, "Fathers, do not provoke your children to anger, but bring them up in the discipline and instruction of the Lord." This is a call to action. We have to make sure that our kids get everything that they need, the emotional, the physical, and certainly the spiritual aspect. You know, amen. I had a boss one time tell me, there was a lady that had worked for me, and she was terrible. There's no sugarcoating that. She really didn't need to be employed there. And I thought the easiest solution was we might move in a different direction, right? Hey, well, let's just tell her, hey, thank you, but no thank you, and let's go a different direction. And he looked at me and he said, "Chris, that's why I hired you, was to get her ready, to get her where she needed to be." And that weight of that responsibility, it just sent a light off in my mind, was that, yeah, she wasn't where she needed to be, but he fully expected me to sow into her, invest in her, and to get her where she needed to be. You know, I didn't understand much about business, but it's certainly more expensive to fire and rehire than to train somebody, isn't it? You know, I was joking with Charlie yesterday. They watched our dog, and I asked him, I said, "So you ready for a dog?" He said, "No, I'm not." He said, "Because if they go to the bathroom on the carpet, I can't get rid of them." I said, "Sure you can." And we kind of talked about it, is like our dog, she spends a lot of time in the kennel, and we're trying to get her outside of the kennel. And I am the kind of person, like if she's going to keep going to the bathroom in the house, she's going to have to find a new home. And what we were joking about is kids are a little different. If David keeps going to the bathroom in the house, I can't get rid of him as much as I probably want to. After that diaper yesterday, I did want to get rid of him. But we kind of joked, is when you get kids, you've got them, don't you? When you get kids, they're yours. They're there. They're going to be there forever. Dogs, you can get rid of. But the full responsibility of being a parent, that hit me as we were kind of joking about that yesterday, is kids, they're there, right? And God expects you to do something with them while they're there. I want to just reread that. "Fathers, do not provoke your children to anger, but to bring them up in the discipline and in instruction of the Lord." I don't know how many dads I'm talking to that you're just holding on. How many dads I'm talking to that it's just kind of a passive relationship you have with your kids. But God's calling you to an active lifestyle with them so that they know who God is because you told them about him. It's interesting. God gave us kids. The Psalms calls them a heritage of the Lord. God gave us kids so that we could raise them up to know him. We are a part of his plan, Dad, so that our kids know him fully in their relationship. And the last point is this. So I told you that God's called us to be, we have to be passionate, we have to be influential, we have to be intentional. We have to understand that responsibility. And the last thing is to look to your Heavenly Father as the example of how to do it. You know, our Heavenly Father is a good Father, isn't he? Romans 8:28 says this, "We know that for those who love God, all things work together for good, for those who are called according to his purpose." You know, there's not a perfect dad out there. I bet there's been some dads that have made some mistakes. I'm sure your dad has made some mistakes. If you're at a spot right now for those that aren't dads, that maybe there's some hurt and some frustration there, I would ask that you'd offer him forgiveness, because that's what your heavenly Father did. We serve a good, good Father. We serve a loving Father. 1 John 4:8 says, anyone who does not love does not know God, because God is love. He is a loving Father. He is a faithful Father. Psalm 33:4, for the word of the Lord is upright, and all his work is done in faithfulness. Our heavenly Father has set the example that we can look to, dads, to be that dad that he's called us to be.
Thanks so much for joining us today. We pray that the truth of God's word is both encouraging and uplifting to you. If you'd like more information about our church, service times, or locations, or if you have a question about what you heard today and you want to connect with someone, I want to encourage you to visit us on our website at championforest.org. Have a great day, and God bless.